world's on fire, our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Excuse me, you know, no matter how many times I say it, or no matter how many times I hear it, we still don't get it. I'm just telling you, we don't get it. Thanks for joining us. When I had spent the evening yesterday out on the boat with some of my grandkids, you know, we just have a little flunky pontoon boat. I don't have a big yacht or anything like that. I think we paid $3,800 for it a few years ago. But we went out in this place on Buckeye Lake where you can park. It's called a sandbar, and you just kind of throw an anchor in. It's a swimming hole. And took all my grandkids, not all of them, but five of them, I think I had with us. And it's really amazing to watch the nature of someone when they swim. And I saw our youngest grandson, Declan, one that had the heart issue. Yeah, God's fearfully made him fearfully and wonderfully made. How courageous Declan is, little guy jumping in, and then how timid his older sisters are. It's natural. It's amazing to see the natural inclination of people, the way they are. Some people are dogmatic. Hey, Spencer, good word. Pull that up there for me. Dogmatic. Dogmatic. We use that word, but we don't always know what it means. Dogmatic. A lot of people are dogmatic in their faith. There's nothing wrong with it. No, nothing wrong with it. Yeah, that's right, Craig. And the one I ran over is fearless. Dogmatic, pertaining to a dogma or to settled opinion. Bible says it. I believe it. That settles it. That's dogmatic. But y'all also look down there. It says at the bottom, arrogant. Most arrogant people are dogmatic. Now, there are certain things that it's okay to be dogmatic about. There are some things that you just can't compromise on. You just can't compromise. But the Bible says that foolish and unlearned questions avoid, for they do engender strifes. And that we tend to, in American Christianity, focus more on the things that divide us rather than the things that unite us. And I think it's probably one of the main reasons that we're in the mess we're in. I'm heading something. I'm just kind of venting here this morning. Because I did a show last night, and I was up late and didn't get much sleep, and it's all good. Look, let me tell you something. To every one of you that are watching here right now, some people don't get it. The Bible says that the natural man, Spencer, see if you can find that, so that people won't think I'm lying to them. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. Neither can he. That's a very, very, very powerful verse that your life is going to be a lot easier if you believe it. Randy says it's 1 Corinthians 2. But the natural, I hate to start, bear with me a second here. I hate to start just on a verse. So let's go to 1 Corinthians. Bring the whole thing up there. Bring 1 Corinthians 2 up. Because when you write a letter, you don't just pull a paragraph out of there. Right? And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellence of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. I didn't come tell y'all how smart I was. For I determined not to know anything among you save Christ Jesus and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech, my preaching was not with enticing words, man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Boy, wouldn't that be good? Wouldn't that be good if we got away from man's wisdom and enticing words and just got to the point with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. I know several people right now who are dealing with life and death physical issues. Why does the Lord heal some, doesn't heal others? That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. Boy, thank you, Lord. I had no idea that's what this is going to say. Hey, folks, how many of you out there have a faith that stands in the wisdom of men? Pastor Tommy Toes told you. You've been going to that church for 60 years. Come on. Your faith should stand not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Albeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of the world. They all come to naught. Hey, are you looking at me? Donald Trump ain't going to save America. I'm telling you, he ain't going to save America. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even a hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Do you ever sitting around, something going on, you're pondering something, and all of a sudden a thought comes to you, and you say, oh my goodness, I never saw it that way. Wouldn't they call that revelation? Man, revealed, it was revealed to me. I never saw it that way. Some of you need to learn to see it another way. But we speak the wisdom of God in mystery, even a hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto glory, which none of the princes, there it is again. I was on this show last, bear with me a second. Let me get this off my chest. Last night, we were reading Psalm 2. Got in front of me right now, why the heathen rage, people imagine vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves. Now, hang on a minute. Here it is. None of the princes of this world. Time out a minute. Who are the princes of this world? Who are the kings of the earth? Does anybody know when Psalm 2 was written? Quiz, I'm asking anybody out there. Anybody know when Psalm 2 might have been written by David? You don't have to answer. I had to Google it. Psalm 2 was written probably 10 centuries. Think about that a minute. 1,000 years before the advent of Christ. 1,000 years before the advent of Christ. Let me ask you something. Who were the kings of the earth 1,000 years before Christ? Who were they? We're not talking about something physical. We're talking about something spiritual. Because 1,000 years before Christ, did somebody living in Israel know about China? Europe? United States? Africa? Do you have any understanding of how big the world was? But yet, they're talking about the kings of the earth. Folks, these aren't physical guys. They're not physical people. They're spiritual. But we speak the wisdom of God in mystery, even his, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. This plan was all laid out, which none of the princes, who are they? None of the princes of this world knew. Come on now. Who are they? This is a spiritual book, folks. Think about Donald Trump. It's not a book about, any of that. It's a spiritual book. And who are the princes of this world? Well, for had they known it, they'd have never picked on Jesus. had they known it, they'd have never touched that boy. They didn't know, did they? But as it's written, your eyes have not seen, your ears not heard, neither has even entered into the heart of man things that God has in store for those that love him. But God has revealed it unto us by his Spirit. What? This whole book is a spiritual book. This whole existence we live is a spiritual existence, folks. but God hath revealed them unto us. How? Through the internet? Facebook? YouTube? No. He's revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now, let me tell you something, because sometimes we bring up a different perspective than you learn from Pastor Timmy Toes, and it don't feel good. And it's the Holy Spirit searching deep in you and asking you, why do you believe that? And then some of you go away because you don't want to go there. Bible says it. I believe it. That settles.
Boom.
And I'm here to tell you, I don't know. Can I be honest with you? I don't know. And if you're out there and you think you've got it all figured out, hang on. Verse 12. Now we have received what? Not the spirit of the world? There's a spirit of the world? What? But the spirit which is of God. So there's the spirit of the world, which we're seeing it play out politically, seeing it play out in our daily lives, but there's the spirit of God. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Does God speak to you? Or people say, God never, I never hear from the Lord. Well, why? Because sheep hear my voice. You know the voice they don't hear. Problem isn't God, it's you. And so those things that he's freely given to us, we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but what the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. Here's where I was going. But the natural man, so, hey, Vinny, somebody out there tell me just in everyday terms, what is a natural man? What is a natural man? Anybody? I'm going to wait. Somebody tell me what's a natural man.
Anyone in their unsaved state.
Anyone in their unsaved state. How many people do you come in contact with a day, every day, who are in an unsaved state? They're just the natural man. And they cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. Why? You run into people who aren't saved and they think it's foolishness. But look at this. We'll start again. The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God because he thinks it's foolish, and neither can he know them. It's like Chinese. I can't read Chinese. I can't read Chinese. And someone who can't, who is not born again of the Spirit of God, cannot discern the spiritual things. And the churches are full of people who are not born again, who have never received the Spirit of God. I'm just telling you. But he that is spiritual, well, he judges all things, even though the Bible tells us, well, who are you to judge, right? Yeah. Yet he himself is judge of no man. For who hath known the mind of Christ that he may instruct him? We got it. We got the mind of Christ. I don't want to offend anybody. I don't care if I do, but I don't want to. Most people that you go to church with are not born again in the Spirit of God. They are a natural man. They go to church, have been trained in church. They might even read the Bible. But they have no understanding. Why? Because the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit. It's not that they don't. They can't interpret it. It's like they go to Russia and everybody around them is speaking Russian and they cannot understand it. It's not that they don't want to. They can't. I'm not trying to overplay this. Are you with me? That's what, folks, that's all we're dealing with. And I can't believe the number of people who get trapped up into thinking if we just change the politics. If we just change the politics. Yep. If we could just get Paul in there. We could just get Trump out of there. So you don't understand Psalm 2. Kings of the earth set themselves. 1,000 years before Jesus, there were kings of the earth. You get it? Spiritual. Demonic. We've been dealing with it ever since. So here's what we're going to do. I'm taking a long way around to get here. I haven't even looked in. They got their hand up yet. Let me check over here. I'll shut up here in a minute. Hey, Vinny, somebody out there, say boom. This is pretty good, isn't it, folks? It's pretty good. Look, Donald Trump ain't going to save America. Neither is J.D. Vance, and certainly not Mitch McConnell.
Boom.
Ain't none of them. Cash Patel, ain't none of them going to do it. None of them. But the Bible tells us this. God raises them up. Raises one up and sets one down. And if you listen to this show anytime, we know that there's a heavy dialogue that goes on in this show. Is Trump Christian enough? Somebody say amen. Is Donald Trump Christian enough? I'd say this. He's probably as Christian as most of the majority of Americans. Yes or no? Huh? Yes or no? Yep. Okay. Where was it? So here's what we're going to do. We've got a new action going on. I want to thank Mel and Craig's all over it again, of course, all over. Pull up number one for me real quick. We're beginning this weekend. Anybody out there who would like to take part in this here in the Columbus area? We're going to be again to do this. We staked properties and went and did all that stuff. And Randy was all over that. And Craig was all over and there's all that good stuff. And we salted the water and all that stuff. Where does judgment begin? I'm sure Betty's listening. Betty, where does judgment begin?
Doesn't it begin with us?
In the house of God.
Yeah.
House of the Lord.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Because we're the temple. Well,
yeah, see, so we want to go out and fix government when the church is broken. Vinny, that would have been a boom right there, would have been a good one. We want to go fix the culture. We want to go fix politics. We want to go fix the government when the church is broken.
Boom.
So we're going to begin an initiative, and this really, Glenn kind of came up with it. It doesn't matter who came up with it. 2025, refiner's fire to be released upon the American church. Scroll down. Wow. Click here for more. This Saturday, some of us, we're the enemy listeners. I got to be careful what I say. Some of us are going to begin a process of staking churches. Yeah. And if you're in the Columbus area and you'd like to be part of it, just send me a text or email and I'll tell you where we're going to be. We're going to go do it. I don't know who wrote this. Craig, did you write this? Mel wrote, whoever wrote this. This is really good. In September 2022, almost 3 years ago, God moved on me to create a document calling to people. This is Craig, obviously. Coming into agreement on how American Christians should be in a spirit of repentance for the last 70 years over what has transpired in our nation on our watch. Somebody remind me of this. I have to ask this question later. All right. Betty, write it. I see Betty's on my screen. Betty, write this down. What makes something right or wrong? What makes something right or wrong? Ask that question when we get down here, okay? So in July of 2025, God gave me the prayer of the refiner's fire for the American church. If judgment starts in the house of the Lord, can purification, refinement, revival begin in the church? I say yes, but we must allow the refinement of the Holy Spirit to move over God's church. Our mission is to be obedient to the call by being boots on the ground and let God determine the outcome. In the book of Revelation, Jesus dictates letters to seven churches of Asia Minor. In each of the letters, we can glean how a church should operate. Let us have the ears to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So how do we get involved? How do we proceed? This is what we're starting this weekend. Be in prayer for God to lead you or your group to pick up 10 churches in your local community. Why 10? Abraham negotiated with God that if 10 righteous could be found in Sodom, he would spare the city. I want you to think about Columbus, Ohio, specifically downtown Columbus, Ohio. Most of you don't know. I know pretty well. Are there any righteous churches in downtown Columbus, Ohio? Make me laugh. Remember that show? Make me laugh. So let us ask God to send refining fire upon those churches that we're led to go to. Don't necessarily look for the biggest, well-known, influential, or denominational church, but go where God leads. It could be a very small, not well-known church. We never know where the fire's going to start. If you like, use the downloadable Refiner's Fire prayer guide by reading it over the property. Folks, you can do it alone. Anoint rocks or print scripture verses to leave on the property as markers on the land. Folks, look, don't leave paper. It's like you're littering. Don't leave paper. Write a scripture on a rock or something like that. Excuse me. Like from Old Testament scripture, Deuteronomy 6:6-9. Read Matthew 5:13 about how the church is to be the salt and light. Pray some inspirational music on your phone. Worship God in the property. Sing songs. There's some songs you can sing. Speak life over that dead church. I'm the worst. I speak damnation all the time over the church. The body of Christ. Not the bride. Sorry, I'll get into that discussion for you at some point if you want to. Speak life over the property and the people. Let the Holy Spirit move. I think we can agree on this. We can all do more. Being the salt and light in our church. How about if you're just driving down the street and you see a church and the Holy Spirit prompts you, pull over and do something at that church. Prayer walk it, drop a rock, claim it. Every place you put your foot, God's given us as an inheritance. Let's do it. I think we can all agree on this. We can do more being the salt and light in our communities. What with that type of spirit of mind and humility, let us walk, pray, intercede, declare for God's refining fire to fall upon his church. For the prayer of a righteous, thank you, Lord. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I think we can all agree on this. We can all do more. Being a salt and light in our communities, I just said, I'm sorry. If you get a check in your spirit to do this action, join us. God's looking for willing souls, not the best qualified, not the big name pastors, not the elders of your church. He's just looking for people qualified to do the prayer. Click here to download the prayer PDF. Pull it up. So here's all you do. You take this thing, put it on your phone, and there's your declaration. Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you stated no greater love is this than a man lay down his life for his friends. Lord, you lay down your life not only for mankind, but for the church, which represents your body, the ecclesia. Jesus, we come to the kingdom for such a time as this, to walk this land, this church property, name whatever it is, that bears, Lord, this Presbyterian church that bears and represents your name. We ask for the refining fire of the Holy Spirit to fall on this land, its leadership, and the body of believers who attend here. Vinny, would you say boom? Would somebody say boom?
Amen.
Boom.
We ask that you, that your name be elevated as you sit at the right hand of your Father at this location. We ask that you would bless, shake, mold, perfect the works of this church into the image of yourself. Not as a retreating king, but as a conquering king. We ask that you embolden all pastors, elders, members of this church to be bold as lions, warriors in battle, pushing back the works of Satan and his minions. Matthew states the gates of hell shall not prevail against your church. And you're the one who said, I will build my church. So, Lord, we stand here today with the anointed feet of the Holy Spirit on this date, whatever the date it is, at this church. Read the name of the church located, read the address, as witnesses to your mighty word, praying in agreement with your spoken words referenced previously, inviting and releasing the Holy Spirit to bring down the refining fire of the Spirit on this property, persons, and souls to cleanse, refine, purify, fortify for the days ahead. As stated by your word, build this church, Lord. Lead this church to overcome the unfruitful works of the devil and his minions at this location, the town it occupies, until Jesus, you return. We ask you would also bring lost souls in proximity to this church who have not come to salvation into the kingdom of God at this location, because you will have refined it by your Holy Spirit fire. And this church is operating as you intended it to be. And the gates of hell will not prevail at this location anymore, because you, Lord Jesus, are here in the midst through the Holy Spirit. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, it is proclaimed, decreed, and released today. In Jesus' name. Craig, did you write that?
Yes. But the Lord gave it to me. So the Lord gave it to me. Sorry.
Wow. Wow. So are you guys going to do that? Are you going to do it? Betty, can you get two people? It doesn't matter. Can you get two or three people and go do this in St. Clairsville and all of you out there? Can you do this? Can we do this? Well, we're going to sit around and gripe and moan about Trump, and Trump's not Christian enough. And how can you trust? Well, because why? God gives us the leaders we deserve.
So, Coach, sometimes you take a few minutes and just let a video speak to your heart. Would you let Spencer click on start right here? And it's about a 3-minute video. It's a song.
Sure.
Because I think it's applicable to what we're trying to do here.
Okay.
We want our coffee in the lobby. We watch our worship on the screen. We got a rock star preacher who won't wake us from our dreams. We want our blessings in our pocket. We keep our missions overseas. Before the hurting in our city, would we even cross the street? But we want to see the heart set free and the tyrants kneel. The walls fall down and our land be healed. But church, if we want to see change in the world out there, it's got to start right here. It's got to start right now. Lord, it's got to right here. Lord, it's got to right. I'm like the brother of the prodigal who turned his nose and puffed his chest. He didn't run off like his brother, but his soul was just as dead. What if the church on Sunday was still the church on Monday too? What if we came down from our towers
and walk the mile in someone's shoes. Cause we wanna see the heart set free and the tyrants kneel. The walls fall down and our land be healed. But church, if we wanna see change in the world out there, it's gotta start right here. It's gotta start right now. People who are called by his name, if we'll surrender all our pride and turn from our way, he will hear from heaven and forgive our sin. He will heal our land, but it starts right here. We're the people who are called by his name. If we'll surrender all our pride and turn from our way, he will hear from heaven and forgive our sin. He will heal our land. It's gotta start right here. It's gotta start right now.
I can't tell you the number of emails I get every day chastising me for supporting Trump. It's the freaking church, folks. It ain't Trump. It's the church. Say, Spencer, pull up number 2. 1965, I think. 1965.
If I were the devil, if I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness. And I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree. Thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Hmm. Wow, huh? Now, Betty, I asked you to ask me a question. I'm sure you wrote it down, but I remembered it. So I just want all of you to ask yourself this question here today. In this secular world in which we find ourselves, and by the way, there isn't anybody who doesn't have a God. Bob Dylan sang that to us, didn't he? You got to serve somebody. Most people are gods ourselves, or our job, or our bank account, or our family. We're all serving something. Probably, for the most part, ourselves, flesh. Right? I want to ask a very simple question. Since they removed the Bible as a moral code, what makes something right and wrong? Why is it wrong? I'm just asking. If there's no moral code, no foundation, Psalm 11:3, the foundations be destroyed. What's wrong with being a racist? If there's no moral code. What's wrong with going around sleeping with every woman you want to and creating babies? What's wrong if there's no moral code? What's wrong with lying, stealing, and cheating? I don't care who you are. The most wicked gangster in the world gets mad when somebody double crosses him. What makes double crossing wrong? All of our system of morality that we have in America. When somebody says, that's wrong, we should all ask the question, says who? Says who? What makes something right or something wrong? You shouldn't call a homosexual queer. Why? Well, it's rude. So, what is the moral code if there is no moral code? I'm going to stop right there. I was going to get into natural law. Maybe we'll do that. Maybe we'll do that later. I'm going to open it up. Come on. So, here's what we're doing. Thanks to Craig and Mel and Randy and others, we are going to stake our churches. If we don't get it right, hey, somebody help me out. Where does judgment begin?
In the house of the Lord.
Amen.
By the way, Vinny, where the Lord lives is right in here. And judgment begins first here, and then with the people that I fellowship with. That's where it begins. And we have, for whatever reason, we've reached a point in America where we will not even say to our friends and to our children, stop it, that's wrong. There's no moral code. Dale, come on in.
Well, let's finish that thought, Coach, of the question, where does judgment begin? It's more than just that it begins at the house of the Lord. It says judgment begins at the house of the Lord. And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, Coach, this is the problem. We like the easy street. No confrontation. Yep. Just let me sit in church with a cozy, comfy chair with a cafe latte in my hand. If it's hard for the righteous to be saved, That's the first thing. We always want to point at the ungodly and the sinner, because they're going to be turned over to the satraps and the sheriffs, and you're going to be hated.
Amen. You broke up on some of that deal. Amen.
I'm driving through a dead zone.
I know. Amen. Amen. Judgment begins first in the house of God, right? Well, I had a profound statement, and I just lost it. I'll get it back. Go ahead, Rochelle. Thanks, Dale. Didn't mean to cut you off.
Thanks, Coach. Good morning, team. So, yes, judgment begins in the house of the Lord. But what he's judging our hearts. We're looking around. We don't know what's on anybody's hearts, what they're doing things for, the reason they're doing this or doing that. And it could look righteous. It doesn't mean it really is righteous. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we'll just mock those things. We want to be a part of something. And when you get people who deny that the reason we have what left is what left of our morals, did God really put that on our hearts? I mean, to me, I feel like some children have a really strong sense of right and wrong, and some of them don't. And you have to teach them. So it's this whole, what makes something right is righteous is because God has said that this is what's righteous. And okay, sometimes so what's righteous does not feel right to us.
Well, let me ask you this question, Rochelle. I'm trying to figure out how to frame it. I'm not arguing with you, by the way. What do we teach as right and wrong in our schools? Is homosexuality wrong, or is judging the homosexual wrong?
They're more concerned about feelings. They've turned this into something rosy and cheerful. Like you're a caring person if you care about how someone feels. Okay. So that might mean that you've got to lie or compromise your beliefs so that you don't hurt their feelings. And that's what they say is righteous nowadays, when it's a complete 180. The hardest thing to do is to tell someone that they're doing it wrong in love Right now, I should confront, like, my daughter and her boyfriend are a little too close. Uh-huh. They're not married. They probably shouldn't be living together, but I'm not going to address that. There's so many other things in this world. So you feel like as a Christian, you got to pick and choose your battles.
Right.
Right. And then we're compromised. Do we go around making fights with everyone because this is righteous, or do we understand people's hearts?
We know this, sweetheart. Sorry, you said the heart is deceitfully wicked above all men. Look, I don't care what the hurt is. their heart's lying to them.
Huh? Oh, please let me come back in, Coach.
Hang on a second. The mantra of Satan is do as thou wilt, follow your heart. Go ahead, Dale.
Man, that was just incredible timing, Rochelle. I'm at prayer last night, and it isn't bless me. It really is a cry of repentance. And the Lord led me to Proverbs, Coach, last night, 16. Listen to this. I'm reading out of the NASB. Proverbs chapter 16, starting with verse 1. The plans of the heart belong to the person, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a person are right or clean in his own sight, but the Lord examines the motives. Woo! Coach, let me tell you something. Rochelle, I say this and I preach this, is that when our children live underneath our roof, we are the disciplinaries. We are the parents. When they move out, we're the advisors. We can't discipline them. We can't scold them or correct them. We can advise them. And I think that the harder thing is probably because she knows that you don't agree with that. That right there is a harder thing for a person. When a person knows what he's doing is wrong, man, that in itself is a punishment. It makes it such a burden that you don't have a joy doing what you're doing. Amen. But coach, man, it's the Lord that is looking at the motives of a person's heart.
If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Are the foundations destroyed? Well, what are we going to do? That's the question, isn't it? But they give us a gospel of tolerance and diversity and love, and who are you to judge? And look at the mess we have. Look at the mess we have. Wow. Mary Beth.
When I was young, I was living with my ex, you know, and I never, ever wanted to live with him. I wanted to get married, but he didn't want to get married. Well, that was my first mistake. Well, anyway, my mother-in-law, called me a slut, which she was right. So was he, you know. Yep. Anyway, so, you know, I never forgot that. She was right. I mean, she was right. But anyway, I had two sayings I heard yesterday, and I thought they were pretty good. If morality came in a jar, virtues would be an ingredient. And then the other one was, because I'm the skeptic says everything that is right is wrong, and everything that is wrong is right. I just thought those were two interesting sayings that kind of fit.
Amen, amen, amen. So we to carry this into politics. Do we have any godly elected officials nationally in your local town? Have you elected a godly man as your mayor or a good politician? Hey, Jeff Klein, the city council up there in Mount Vernon, are they godly people? Well, how the hell did they get in office if they're not godly people? And I don't care where you are. Look around at your local school board. Is your school board full of godly people? I can tell you, on our school board here in where I live, there are at least two godly people on our school board who do not support godly things. Would somebody say amen? Would somebody say amen? Because amen. They're good people, amen, trained in their church, that there's a separation between morality and government. Betty, that'd been a boom. That would have been a boom. So the church, which Jesus himself said was the salt of the earth, not the sugar.
Boom.
The church, Christians go into a secular environment and they don't impact it at all.
Boom.
Because they won't be salt. They've been trained in their churches. Be nice. Jesus loves everybody. Who are you to judge? Don't push your morality on me. Yada, yada. All those stinking lies. And it comes back to the very, 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 very basic. Is there right and wrong, and who determines it? And what we have right now is selective morality. Oh, that may be right for you, but that's not right for me. Yeah, I know. Listen, I would never live with an unmarried. I'm going to step on your toes. Get ready. I would never live with an unmarried man. I would never do that. But he can't get his divorce final. Yes or no? And then let him come to church. How many cohabitators are they going to church in your church? Whoa, coach, now you're meddling. Come on in, Betty.
Yes, I just wanted to say 3 weeks ago, I started going with this group for anti-abortion. So we had my sign, you know, from Created Equal, and got through that day. Well, the next time I came, I couldn't show those abortion signs because it was too offensive. We need to be kid friendly. We got to make sure that we don't offend anybody. So I said, well, it's no problem. I said, if you don't want me here, I'll start another group and I'll go somewhere else. And then five of them said, well, we're going to go with you. And so I had my Jesus is the only way type sign up that day last week. And I said, you know, that's what's wrong with our world. Our pastors are sissified. People don't want to say too much because we don't want them to get offended. And these kids need to see that because they're seeing pornography at eight years old on the computer. So seeing this might not even really shock them that much. So anyway, yesterday when I went, I told them I didn't care what they said. If you want me to leave, I will leave. And I had my signs out again. And the next thing I knew, everybody was tooting their horns and thumbs up with my sign, but not much with theirs, little signs. And wouldn't you know, they were wondering if they could borrow my signs for next week. So I gave them two signs because they said they couldn't believe all the honks and the waves and everything that they got with my sign and not theirs.
Whoop, whoop. Amen. Amen. Somebody keep talking. I want to grab something. Somebody come in. I'm going to walk right over and grab something. I'll be listening. I can hear you. But I have to go into one of these multi-million dollar drawers, cubbyholes over here in my multi-million dollar studio for a second. Somebody come in. Come on, somebody come in. I'll call you in.
Amen. Hey.
This is a great time to promote Dr. Coleman Boyd from Mississippi is running for the Senate local. Now, Dr. Coleman Boyd was with me and Coach in Tennessee as we staked the federal courthouse, and this guy was facing 10 years in prison for face charges. Now, he was fined $10,000. He's in Mississippi. He pastors his own local home church. He's a father of 12. He's adopted 4. And this guy is running for Senate, and we at Pass Assault need to get behind this guy. He's the real deal, 100%.
Well, Christians are going to vote for Dale. Christians won't vote for him because there's a separation between the church and state. We can't have Christians in the. That's our mindset. That's our mindset. So look, Coleman Boyd. We'll talk more about that. You guys see my shirts, Spencer? I don't know if you can pull that up on. Go to
can't
Coach
see
Dave
it, Coach. There you go.
Truth sounds like hate. We put it on the front of it. By the way, truth sounds like hate to those who hate the truth. Truth
hey,
sounds like. And then on the back, scroll down, Spence. Yeah, scroll down, man. Scroll down. Oh, we took them off because I've been. And on the back, are you ready? What says on the back? Jesus is the judge. Therefore, abortion is murder. Homosexuality. The sin. Evolution is a delusion. Islam is a lie. Feminism is rebellion. Liberalism is false religion. And conservatism is pretend salt. How many of you would get run out of your church if you wore that in there? Come on in, Jack. Jack's always on.
Now, when Mike Heath was running, they literally said, the church people literally said he was too Christian to be governor.
Unbelievable, huh?
The executive director of the main Republican Party, Jason Savage, blocked him from even being in the primary. They did not want a debate because he's too Christian. Wow.
Amen. 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 Hey, Jack, listen, folks. I'm out of Hawkinies. Donations are down. Send us $25. I'll send you a shirt. All right? But when you do that, you got to tell me the size. Send us $25. I don't know how you do it. How do you do that? Text me, email me, whatever. Say, Coach, I just gave $25. Send me one of those shirts. Okay, I don't have a whole lot of them left. I don't have a whole lot of them left. By the way, some of you can just give out of the kindness of your heart. That'd be good too. Amen. Who's trying to get in here? Let's get James. I haven't been in here. James Thomas. Go ahead, James.
Yeah. You know that magic
hang on, James. James, hang on. My wife's yelling at me. My wife's yelling at me. She's up in the multi-million-dollar living room. Yeah, hi. Yeah, Michelle said we're really limited on our sizes on the shirt. So, go ahead, James.
Yeah, if you go to Matthew chapter 10, Jesus gives us a little good word. He said, therefore, everyone who confesses me before man, I will confess him before my Father.
Yeah.
My Father is in heaven, but whoever denies me before man, I will also deny him before my Father. Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be the members of his own house. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He who do not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. The Lord didn't come to bring peace. If the gospel sometimes is offensive. So we take this to the world and say, you know, I hear all this other stuff. It is supposed to be because you're pulling people from the fire of hell. Amen.
Amen. It's salt, not sugar. Eileen.
Good morning, Coach. Good morning, everyone. I just got this text message from a woman who was, she was one of the chief operating officers of this Catholic media organization here in Detroit for many years. It has since been shut down or dissolved or bankrupt because the founder was involved in a homosexual relationship. So having said that, she texts me this morning and said, oh, I'm so glad Lisa McClain, U.S. Congresswoman Lisa McClain from our district is there in Washington with Trump. And I wrote back and I said, are you kidding me? Do you know anything about her? When she was asked at a fundraiser, what do you like best about Nancy Pelosi? She said, oh, she's so smart. Lisa McClain. I know her personally. She has an alcohol problem. And so, but it was interesting that this woman, being so involved in Catholic media, has no clue. And she writes back, so are we being fooled by the Trump team also? And I gave her your quote. It's not about Trump, not about Democrats or Republicans. It's about the church, the broken church.
Amen.
Thank you, Coach.
Amen. Amen, Eileen. Well, Chad, moderator.
Well, earlier we were talking about that we may not be able to see, you know, we're trying to tell people about that they won't see the truth or whatever. But I think sometimes we don't see it in ourselves.
There you go.
Sometimes we're not examining ourselves. I can remember receiving an email from my boss one time saying, guys, when y'all go here, you need to be doing this. And so I stand up and I walk around the corner and I said, Sarge, why don't you just tell Ray to not to do it? He said, because it's not Ray, it's you. I said, it's me. I said, I never knew it was me. Because we think we're dug in, ladies and gentlemen, but our theologies. And that's why we get upset when we get conflicting opinion.
Judgment begins first at the house of God. You're the house of God, folks. So I hate to tell you that. You're the house of God. And then I don't know what order they came in here. Craig, jump in here quickly.
Yeah, I don't know about quick, but so, you know, when August 8th, when I finished up at the DNC, I saw in the spirit that an angel of the Lord had his sword undrawn in his hand. And I saw the Lord haven't put that sheath, put that back in the sheath. I'm beginning to feel right now the sword has been taken out and it's getting ready to swing. That's why I wrote this. And Rochelle's point, and for our loved ones, okay, you had a big tent there on your property. And you can either stand out in the rain right now or you can repent and get under the tent. You know, people are living, I have no room to talk about living with someone before we got married because I did. But what I learned, I wish someone would have grabbed me and said, you're either going to be under the blessings of God or you're going to be under the cursings of God. And you have a choice. And I would suggest that you get under the tent and keep out of the rain, because the storm is here.
Storm is coming. Ooh, gotta run. Greg. See you tomorrow.